At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Dana Miranda about budgeting and budget culture and her take on this. I found Dana online, and her new take on budgeting was really interesting to me when I read about it. So I invited her on this podcast so I could get to talk to her a little bit about budgeting. This is a really eye-opening conversation for me as someone who loves budgeting, so I think this is going to be a really great listen for everyone, no matter which side of the aisle you fall on about budgeting, because there's definitely some new perspectives offered about budgeting. Our conversation is going to cover how budgeting may not be the best thing since sliced bread, how it can be bad, and what's wrong with, as Dana puts it, budget culture, how budgeting can impact our relationships, and then a new perspective to take on managing our money when it comes to going beyond budgeting, or if you want to change things up and forget about budgeting altogether after listening to today's conversation. I know this is going to be a really insightful conversation for everyone to listen to and to have. So make sure if you find this conversation interesting, comment on a social media post for this episode, one of your key takeaways, or make sure to share it with a friend. And then, of course, have a money talk about it, because this is going to be something that's going to bring about some really cool and interesting conversations around budgeting. So make sure you share your most interesting takeaway from today's episode. But the money talking points for today's episode are, what are your thoughts about budgeting? And two, what approach besides budgeting could you take to manage your money? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. This issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview. Today, I have Dana Miranda here with me, and we're talking all things budgeting. I'm really excited for this one because I think it's going to be a different take than I'm used to taking on budgeting, which I think is going to be a fun conversation. But Dana, can you go ahead and introduce yourself real quick for everyone?
Sure. My name is Dana Miranda, and I write the newsletter Healthy Rich, which is on Substack. It's a newsletter about the ways that capitalism impacts how we think, teach, and talk about money, and exploring different perspectives on money, people's money stories that we don't hear a lot in personal finance media, and also new ways to approach money and thinking about money that kind of question a lot of the traditional things that we learn in personal finance.
Awesome. Such as budgeting, which is what is going to be such a fun conversation today. But let's go ahead and just jump right into it. Is budgeting the best thing since sliced bread? You'll hear it as kind of this one-stop shop for fixing everyone's financial issues. What do you think about it?
You're absolutely right. That is really how budgeting is presented in financial education and personal finance media, in the way that we talk and think about money in general. It's generally the first step when anyone comes with any sort of money problem or quandary. Budgeting is kind of the first step. It says we need to start tracking where you're spending your money, and we need to find places to restrict how you spend your money so that you can pay off debt, or you can increase your savings, or you can plan for retirement, or you can buy the thing that you want to buy. Budgeting is always sort of the first step. And I don't think it's the best thing since sliced bread. I come from personal finance media, and I used to buy into the sort of basics of it. The kind of argument is you need to know what's happening with your money, and budgeting helps you do that, helps you get control, so-called control of your money, which is sort of the feeling that we're all going for. Like, capitalism makes us all feel very not in control of our money because there are constantly forces trying to take it away from us and keep us from getting enough. And budgeting gives you an illusion of control because you can track exactly where your money is going and you can make decisions to pull back when something feels out of control. But I liken budgeting to dieting, which is really a lot about restriction and shame. So the way that we teach budgeting is really about shaming people for how they're using money and restricting it as much as possible to achieve other goals that may or may not be right for that person.
Yeah, you're getting right into some of your thoughts around why it might be bad, some of your thoughts around it specifically. And I like where this is heading. I think it's going to be really insightful for everybody. But why do you think budgeting is bad? Can you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, the main thing I think for kind of everyone is that it's unsustainable. Like, I have a lot of reasons I don't like budgeting because I don't think that restricting money is kind of good for anyone psychologically, financially, for all kinds of reasons. But when it comes down to it, even for people whose goal is to save as much money, pay off debt, like all the traditional kind of personal finance goals that are kind of about increasing your net worth in some way, budgeting is an unsustainable way to even achieve those goals. And so then it just, you know, it leaves you with the shame of not being able to work towards the goals that you set, not being able to stick to the strict rules that you committed to adhering to. Just like dieting, restricting yourself constantly is really not a sustainable way of approaching your life and the things that you want to do. So budgeting just doesn't work. And we see that play out in study after study, that in most cases, the biggest problem is that people don't stick to a budget that is set. And even when people do stick to a budget that's set, it doesn't tend to improve their overall outcomes. It doesn't improve their quality of life or their stress levels about money. It just shifts them towards something else. And again, it's that illusion of control that might make people feel like they're doing the right thing, but it's not actually improving quality of life in any way.
That's really interesting. So you're almost saying that this, like you keep saying, illusion of control is creating something that's unattainable, like maybe a little bit unrealistic for us to think, oh yeah, now because I'm doing this, I'm going to be wealthy. Like, maybe we're setting the bar too high. Is that what you think?
Absolutely. Budgeting is often prescribed to people who don't have enough resources. So rather than finding ways to ensure that everyone in our society has access to the resources they need to live a happy and healthy and comfortable life, we look at people who are struggling and find ways to restrict their life further and find ways to blame them for the struggles that they're having. And tell them that if they can just do that, then they can achieve these goals. And there are always stories that we can point to that show that people have done that and that the first thing that they did was, you know, start a budget. But it's kind of like looking at disordered eating and calling that a success story for dieting, and saying that dieting is a smart way to health. But actually what's happening is someone is struggling with disordered eating or an eating disorder. I think that budgeting sort of falls along those similar lines, that if someone is sustaining it, then they're creating stress for themselves in some other way. And on a much larger, like kind of on a more philosophical scale, we're also asking someone to accept that blame and shame for their financial situation that is not an individual problem. It's a societal problem. And so when we start with budgeting, we turn it into an individual problem and ask someone to take on all of the blame for their circumstances.
Yeah, I think what you just said there about maybe a societal issue causing someone to feel like blamed by their issue they're in, I think a student loans is one that comes to my mind, like first and foremost. If someone's coming out of undergrad after maybe 2 years they didn't quite finish and they're in more student loan debt than they realized, like, is that necessarily their fault? Probably not. They're probably only given debt as their only option to pay for school, and they had no other like
coaching or teaching. So I think that's an excellent point, is that maybe budgeting, like, it's almost like it's a way that everyone says, here's the things that, like, the normal money culture and the money plan that you're stuck into is doing to you. Now you deal with it, in a way.
That's 100% what I see happening. Yeah, absolutely. And student loans is a great example. It's a big, big burden that is thrust on people in a really irresponsible and sometimes intentional way in our society. And someone is put in a situation where, like you said, the only access that they have to school is through taking out massive amounts of debt, that no one really explains to them very well what that means, because we don't have a very strong foundation of financial education. And they're also thrust into just going to into higher education in the first place because of this job market that we've created that pretends that people are getting hired based on merit, and we consider, you know, a college degree to be a certain amount of merit. But, you know, none of that really sort of plays out when you kind of start to dig into it. And so people are just being thrown into these situations where they have a bunch of debt and increasing housing costs and all kinds of things that you start to face when you start to really have to pay for life. And budgeting is not a way to eliminate our student debt crisis. You know, that has to happen at a much higher level. And if we continue to focus on the individual level and what the individual can do to feel better about their money, those problems are never going to be solved. We're just going to keep passing them on.
Yeah, just keep passing them on. I like that, as we're just like passing the stress from one area to another and to another. But you're the first person I've had come on here and say what you're saying about budgeting. And it's really eye-opening for me. And I'm sure our audience is learning a bunch new and taking new things away from this. But with you being the only one saying this, I'd say the normal culture around budgeting is to do it. It's to make sure you have a budget, to use that control, as you say, seems to be an illusion. But what's wrong with that culture around budgeting, where everyone says, let's budget, make sure you're in control of your money, so to speak?
Yeah, I am, you know, I'm shouting this from the rooftops a little bit, but I coined the term budget culture to describe that, which is a parallel, again, to diet culture, which sort of defaults to dieting, but also encompasses a much broader idea of how we approach weight and food and health and bodies in our society. In the same way, budget culture sort of describes the fact that we default to budgeting as an individual solution to these broader systemic problems, but also encompasses the ways that we think and teach and talk about money in our society in general. And the basics that I see in budget culture are the focus on restriction, shame, and greed. So restriction is that budgeting piece that we look at someone's financial situation and always prescribe some sort of restriction. You need to stop spending, stop buying certain things that you want. You need to have a smaller house. You need to, you know, restrict your time and freedom by working harder. Like, there's just all kinds of ways that we restrict an individual's ability to sort of have the time and freedom and life that they want. And then we shame people for their circumstances. We put the onus on an individual for whatever their circumstances are. We make them feel ashamed of them. We shame people for using debt, which is a resource that's just available to people to cope with the circumstances of our financial systems. And we shame people for not adhering to the restriction that we prescribe and all kinds of things. So anytime your financial situation is not what you believe it should be, you sort of default to shame and feel like you have done something wrong and there's something you need to change. And then greed kind of just encompasses the capitalist idea that our goal with money is just to get as much as possible and hold on to it. That wealth building is the ultimate goal. And we're always sort of striving after this fantasy of being rich that doesn't really exist. Some people might be able to increase their net worth by paying down debt or making more money or accumulating wealth, but budget culture pushes you to always strive towards some new level of being rich. So it always remains a fantasy that's just out of reach. And if you can just change your behavior a little bit more, make different decisions, that there's a new level of richness that you could achieve. And so all of our financial advice is based on striving toward that goal, which when you really break it down is a very greedy mindset. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't serve the humanness of individuals, and it doesn't serve our society at large.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's fantastic. I like all three of those and how that's maybe some of the damaging impacts of budget. The restriction makes complete sense in my mind, because you hear people like you're shouting from the rooftops. You hear people on the other end shouting from the rooftops that they need to get their life in order with a budget. And the only way they're going to do it is by spending less and make sure you're not spending any money if you're in debt, sort of thing, even though that debt may not have been fairly thrust upon you in some ways. And that's just because of a lack of education at much lower levels in like grade schools and things like that. That's really interesting to hear. I would have to agree that like that culture just breeds like just some damaging mentalities around budgeting.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and around money in general, sort of, we see money as an end goal itself. And so everything is sort of oriented around that.
Yeah. And I'm hopeful, I guess, to think that money being used as a tool is a conversation that's starting to happen more and more and less of the end goal. That way people are thinking about, oh, my end goal isn't to have $100 million. It's to be able to retire with my spouse and take our family on vacations once a year. So I think some of that's starting to shift. So hopefully you're definitely making an impact with what you're saying. And then there's other people in the space that are talking about it in a better way that I think is going to make some good change. So we're getting there. There's hope.
I'm seeing that change happen, and I really appreciate it that there's a move toward, a lot of people talk about kind of financial wellness and even kind of redefining financial independence as kind of removing the power that money has over you. Mm-hmm. And that I think is really fantastic. And so it always surprises me to see that a lot of that culture is still predicated on budgeting. It still often starts with budgeting and debt payoff. And so that restriction and shaming is still built in there, even though people are sort of moving away from the greed. And so the reason that it was so important to me to name budget culture was so that we could see that showing up in those places, to say that even though you're moving away from that kind of fantasy of being rich and using money as the end goal, there still are pieces to this that are problematic and that we need to address, or you're just going to kind of keep kind of spinning the wheel in the same direction that we always were, with sort of different language. And that's something that I see, not that I see, that a lot of people see show up it with diet culture as well, that we've sort of shifted into this idea of health and wellness. So the language has changed, but the goal of weight loss and food restriction still remains.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's like this, there's this underlying like, yeah, restriction and things like you said that we just feel like we can't get away from, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see how it continues to shift, because if it's making some progress in the right direction, there's definitely opportunity to keep going. But hearing about this restriction, shame, and greed thing, I'm sure that can really impact relationships with other people. How can this idea of budget culture impact our relationships, especially if you're someone who says, let's budget? How does that like impact your relationship?
I see our approach to money show up in relationships, I think, in really interesting ways. And one that really stands out to me is when people are dealing with inheritance. I get questions from people who are dealing with different kind of inheritance battles, usually between siblings. You know, parents have died and there's a question about the will and how things are going to be passed on. And what I see show up, and a lot of times this is, you know, I don't know what the prior relationship is between siblings or family members dealing with these disputes, but what I see show up is this just immediate pursuing of that fantasy of being rich. Like whatever is available, you think that you're sort of owed that. And so people who didn't expect to inherit anything from their parents, suddenly there's a house up for grabs and siblings are fighting over it. That it wasn't part of any financial plan. No one was expecting it. No one had considered sort of the value, the market value of the house, and didn't know that was coming, but suddenly a parent dies and the house is up for grabs and siblings are sort of at each other's throats, trying to figure out who owns it, how much money anyone can get from it, whatever. And I just think that's a really stark example of how budget culture creeps into the way that we relate to each other, because it's the way that we have been taught to think about money our entire lives, which is don't leave any money on the table. So if it's sitting in front of you and you feel like you have any kind of claim to it, make sure you get it or you are being taken advantage of, because your job is to get as much money as possible. And in the questions that people ask me, there's very little consideration for the nuances of their relationship with the person that they're sort of battling against, you know, with for this inheritance. And so I always tell people to take a step back and start with that relationship, start the conversation in a place that, you know, imagine that the money doesn't exist and figure out what is beneath that first, because for some reason you kind of, there's this kind of film that gets between you and real life and important relationships when money is involved. And it becomes difficult for people to relate on a human level because we have taught money as this kind of separate thing that doesn't have anything to do with that humanness. And it can be really damaging if you don't understand that it is part of kind of all the other nuances of your life, if that makes sense. I think I kind of went off the rails a little bit there.
No, it definitely makes sense. And I think what you're getting at in my mind is that there is a lot of other things in the money culture as a whole that impact how we relate to other people, because it's, what you said is fascinating. You can have a family that's super close, but as soon as the house is up for grabs, that's when everything breaks down because of that, like you said, greed aspect, don't leave any money on the table, we have to make sure to get our part sort of thing. But if you step back from the money aspect and look at like what's actually there, maybe there's someone in your family that really needs a house because they're on the borderline of homelessness, but you got to make sure to get yours. So you could care less about those sort of things. So that's a huge like eye opener for me, is make sure to take the money off the table a little bit and have the conversation about the thing itself, especially in your inheritance situation. But I'm sure there's many other situations, whether it's like, I don't know, gift giving and things like that. You want to make sure you get nice gifts for Christmas when maybe the person giving the gift isn't in a place to give nice gifts. I said gift too many times right there, but there's a lot of ways.
I think that's a great example too, right? As you start to just sort of put monetary value on things. The shame around money kind of creeps up in romantic relationships too. Someone who is completely loyal and a great partner might be hiding money secrets because they have secret debt that they're so ashamed to bring up with their partner, that creates a rift because now there's secrets and lies in this relationship that wouldn't have existed otherwise. And that's all just because of the shame that we attach to financial circumstances. And so it creates these situations and it pushes people to behave in ways that they otherwise wouldn't, that can be really damaging to relationships.
Yeah, it's always these sort of things that as soon as you say it, I start to see it in my mind. But I think it's one of those things that just kind of goes under the rug, so to speak. Like it happens, but we're not talking about it enough. So this has been an awesome conversation, I guess. What's a new perspective, or how can we take a new perspective when it comes to managing our money beyond budgeting? Like, what do we do if we're like, oh yeah, budgeting sucks now sort of thing? What do we do with our money?
I recommend an approach to spending and using money that I call conscious spending, which is inspired again in the anti-diet culture space by something called intuitive eating, which is a little different because that's, you know, listening to hunger cues in your body and things like that. But conscious spending is really about just sort of being mindful of your needs and desires and interests, and using money in alignment with those things, and not restricting yourself. So understanding that there are times when you'll want to spend money, you don't need to feel guilty about it. Something could be an impulse purchase and there's value in that. You don't have to go home and feel guilty about it because it wasn't on your grocery list or wasn't perfectly planned and advanced and saved for, or whatever, that there's value in those things because it was part of your human experience. So spend consciously, be aware of how you're using money and how it is impacting your life in a broader way and not just the balance in your bank account, because that's kind of what budgeting looks at, is just sort of that balance in your savings and bank account and various financial goals. Think about the other value that you get out of how you use money, whether it's giving to charity or it's spending on a lunch with a friend that gives you quality time, or it's buying a gift for someone that brings you closer to them, or it's buying an experience for yourself that adds richness to your life. All of those things don't have a monetary value that you can put in a spreadsheet budget, but they're all very important. And so you can use money with some mindfulness of how it's contributing to your life outside of what you could account for with a budget.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on like tracking expenses? Do you think that's necessary? Do you think that breeds restriction and stuff like that?
I think it breeds restriction and also just stress, because it's actually just really hard to do. It's like counting calories or even just tracking calories. It kind of breeds this like obsession with what you're doing, and absolutely, you know, encourages shame and restriction. But I do sometimes recommend like a temporary spending diary, or like a journal, which you can write down and focus not necessarily on how much you spent, although you can write that if you're trying to get some awareness around that, but write down how you use the money, you know, who was involved. Like I said, if you spend money going out for lunch with a friend, you know, what did you eat and how did that feel? And how did the time that you spent with the friend impact you? How did it make you feel for the rest of the day? Like, start to bring some awareness to the life that you live with money as a tool, like you mentioned, rather than just the dollars and cents. But even that, I wouldn't recommend doing sort of long term, because I think that can then just become a new sort of budgeting in disguise for you, that you kind of become obsessed with that regimen.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was wondering where you would land on that. My other thought that's coming to my mind is there a certain, I guess, order to this where this conscious spending can come into play? Do you need to make sure to have saving for retirement and stuff in place first before you're not worrying so much about the budget?
I don't recommend that specifically, although I know some people, because of the circumstances that we're in our society, and the sort of pressure that is on us around money, that some people just don't feel safe making certain money moves. So you have to, you know, sort of divest from budget culture at a pace that makes sense for you. Like, I'm a little bit more of a risk taker. And so for me, I sort of recognized it and I was like, I'm pulling my money out of the stock market. I'm going to spend money as I want to, you know, I'm not, going to prioritize debt payoff. Like, I just sort of like all of it at the same time, like, you know, push everything off the desk kind of and start clean. But no, I don't think that there's an ideal way of doing it. If you feel like you need a nest egg to retire comfortably and safely, because that's the only option that your financial circumstances and that our society kind of provides for you, then, you know, put money into a retirement account, go ahead and do that. But I don't think that that requires budgeting. I think you can keep doing those things. I think you can put money into a comfort fund so that you have sort of backup savings without having a budget. You can take care of yourself in that way without thinking about tracking your spending or restriction. I would say that there are sort of ways that budgeting hides in different money management methods that don't specifically create like spending categories and that kind of thing. So just specifically, I think focus on that, getting rid of the tracking and restriction can really free up a lot of space for you to start kind of making other changes in your life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Awesome. Thank you. And I almost think too, that maybe the saving for retirement aspect of it could come in your conscious spending. Like you're spending this money now for down the road in a way. So like that's a thought you could have. If financial independence is a goal, that's part of one of those things you write down and identify as a need and a value. So yeah, this has been eye-opening for me. I do think people are going to take something away from this because it's a counter-cultural conversation that we just had, which is fantastic. That's the whole point of Money Talks, is to get us talking and learning and growing. So thank you so much for coming on this episode. Could you tell everyone how they can contact you and find you online?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And like you said, this was sort of a different conversation for you. So I appreciate you being open to that and learning about budget culture. But you can follow me and learn more about me by going to healthyrich.co. That will take you to my Substack. You can subscribe to the newsletter for free or chip in a little bit each month to support the work and learn more about a budget-free approach to money.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dana. That was an awesome conversation. And everyone, make sure you reach out to her if you have any questions. I'm sure she'd be happy to answer them, and go check out her material online. But thanks again for coming on this episode.
Thank you, Skylar.
Thank you so much to Dana for that wonderful interview. I thought that was a great conversation. I want to discuss the money talking points now real quick here so that you can hear my take on it and maybe get some conversation going in your head that you can go out and share with a friend. But now that we've all heard the great information Dana had to share, what are your thoughts? The first money talking point is, what are your thoughts about budgeting? Well, I still like budgeting. It's something I just enjoy doing. I like diving into the spreadsheets and numbers and all that sort of stuff. But I very much appreciated the perspective that Dana shared. It's helped me think about budgeting in a new way and opened my eyes to some of the ways that it may not be good for everybody. I've thought, honestly, that it was a one-stop shop, fix-it-all tool for people. You need to make sure you're budgeting and everything like that, but it may not be for everybody. And it may not be good for everybody. It may not do good for everyone. So while I may be sticking to budgeting after this interview, I'm sure there's some of you listening that have found that key that's helped you unlock that reason why money isn't working for you or why you're always frustrated with your money. So make sure you take this episode and apply it to your life if you feel that way. While I may be sticking to budgeting after this interview, I'm sure there are some of you listening who found that key you needed to get over the hurdle when it comes to managing your money, if that hurdle was budgeting. Maybe there's a new way you can take on spending to make sure it aligns with your values without always feeling like your budget is controlling you and restricting you so much. I do think we still need to be careful about spending beyond our means. I think spending beyond our means needs to be a natural restriction in our life because you really shouldn't be spending more money than you're making or bringing in from different revenue sources. But the second money talking point is, what approach besides budgeting could you take to manage your money? I like Dana's idea of conscious spending. Make sure that you're aware of why you're spending and what you're spending on. Are you spending on your values or some urge? Make sure you're aware of it either way. There are certainly times where my wife and I go to the grocery store and I'm saying, I really want some candy. Can we get some candy? I want to get me some candy. And that's okay because we have the conversation and we're aware of it. We're not spending on that urge every single time because we're talking about money. So we're aware of it, but we allow it to happen sometimes, which is good because sometimes you just really want that thing, which is okay. But also make sure it's fitting within a plan and a conversation that you're having. It doesn't necessarily have to be a budget, but you need to identify your values and goals and things like that and make sure that you are spending within that alignment is where I would ultimately fall down on this conversation of what do you do beyond budgeting if you need some way to manage your money. Make sure you're still aligning with your values and goals so that you're not just spending every dime that comes into your possession and you can still reach some of those goals and milestones that you have in your financial life. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you so much for Dana for coming on today's episode and sharing her views about budgeting and budget culture. I really hope you were able to take something away from today's episode, and I would greatly appreciate it if you would share with one of your friends, peers, or family members one thing that you took away. And then make sure you have a money talk about it. This episode is going to bring about some really fun money talks because it's a different view about budgeting compared to what the normal conversation around budgeting is. So I think you can have some really new, insightful conversations about it, which will be really fun and eye-opening for everybody. but a quick moment to ask you to please leave a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast episode on. I appreciate each one of you for listening, sharing, and having money talks with those around you. Thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.